When you hear that sound, you know it's one of two things. Either the royal penis is clean, or it's three-man weave time. That's right, folks. We're back again. It's Drew 50. It's Bonsai 007, the Baselines podcast, the three-man weave. What's going on, fellas?
How's it going?
What's happening?
Shoot, I don't think I can complain. You know, we are recording this one on December 23rd of 2011, 2 days away from Christmas Day when the season tips off officially. But first, let's talk about our virtual season. We're going to give you a rundown of the baseline in this segment, followed by an NBA segment, followed by another baseline segment. We're just going to alternate things tonight. So let's recap things with where we left off in the baseline. We didn't see any users make the NBA Finals, unfortunately. Shoot, only what, like three or four even made the playoffs out of 12? And then we had our draft for this kickoff. But first, let's go back into the recap of the baseline season. Tell me how you did with the Magic, Bond.
I think it was ninth in the East, just a few games out of the playoffs. I feel like I got better as it went on, so I'm ready for this next time to actually try to make a playoff run, but had a couple injuries with Dwight, a couple injuries to my own thumb, so I couldn't play for a week or two, but should be better going in next time.
Drew, how was it with the Clips?
Oh, it was great once I traded away everybody except Blake Griffin, and I rebuilt the entire roster. I kind of turned the Clippers from, Blake and the scrubs that were on the team with him into a young team full of athletes and just played a lot of defense and running up and down the court, throwing dunks down and on the fast break. Ended up finishing, I think I finished fifth in the West, if I remember, by the end of the day, and lost to the Lakers in the first round. I only played one of the games against the Lakers because I was out of town. Played the last game and lost, but still, all in all, it was a nice little run and playing with Blake Griffin is sure is all fun. It's nice having a power forward that can outrun those small forwards down the court.
Yeah, and Drew was actually the only playoff team out of us three here on the three-man weave. I struggled with the Kings. Started out like hot fire. Had a great little run. Went up as high as fifth or sixth in the West, and then had a drastic fall. Tried to make a last-minute trade where I would send my first-round pick and others to Washington for ultimately just a role player in a stretch four in Yee, and that ultimately bit me in the ass as I missed the playoffs, and luckily we had to restart, or else Ry Elliman, our Washington Wizards owner, would be celebrating with multiple first-round picks that he acquired throughout the latter half of the season. Now, we actually had some All-Stars and some first-teamers. Tyreke Evans was a first-teamer. Drew was Blake Griffin on the for the first team. He was a power forward, was he not?
Yeah, Blake made the All-NBA first team and the All-Defensive first team, actually. He ended up finishing like third in the league in scoring and second in the league in rebounding.
That is fantastic. Bond, did you have any luck on any postseason awards?
Dwight was first team all NBA, and he was all defensive team. He was second or third in blocks on the year, and definitely going to have to. I was able to re-sign him in the first go around. Hopefully, I'll be able to do that again.
That would be awesome.
You won't have Gilbert Arenas' Albatross contract to deal with anymore, so I think you should have no problem there.
Yeah, I won't have to dump that off on Drew's team this time.
Well, and, you know, we actually had some team stats. Bucks fan, I think, led the league in total scoring as a team, and then I actually finished first in blocks as a team, having all those lanky guys out in Sacramento between Dalibert and Cousins and Thompson just rejecting folks at the rim. Unfortunately, I couldn't score any points to do anything about it. But let's give a shout-out to Make Him Propel. You know, he was the one that went the furthest out of our users. I think he ended up making it to, what, like the Eastern Conference Finals or at least the semis before he was eventually knocked out. So round of applause out to him. Let's talk about the draft now for this season. You got to think there's a little bit of a conspiracy or maybe a little bit of screw jobs here, because a couple guys ended up not ending up with their favorite teams. Granted, they were newbies, but Dan ends up saying a big screw you to Z-Car and takes the Bobcats away from him, and Blaz is screwing over Pepper with the taking the Knicks. You think anybody's going to be a little hurt about that?
Seems like everyone is pretty happy with where they ended up. Even though a couple guys didn't get their favorite teams, it seems like those guys are big enough basketball fans to have fun with more than just their favorite team.
I would agree with that, especially Z-Car. Z-Car seems to have a great attitude. He seemed to be able to transition quite well, even after having to make two adjustments on the fly, not being able to get his Bobcats. And then Pepper, was it Pepper that took it? Took the Kings away from him when he seemed to have the Grizzlies. There you
the Grizzlies,
go.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies under his routine or whatever you want to call it. But let's move now to actually how the game feels itself. Have either of you guys got the chance to play it post-patch?
No, I played a little bit. Go ahead, Drew.
Yeah, I mean, I played it a ton. I mean, I think the common complaint that we've heard from guys in the league so far has been, since the patch came out, was that three-point shooting is definitely harder than it used to be. But I think that's good. I think it was ridiculous. I mean, I can tell you with a bad Clippers team when we first started in Baseline 2, playing with a Clippers team that wasn't good and did not have good shooters, I would routinely make 50% of the three-pointers I threw up in a game. And that was just – it was ridiculous. It was way too easy. They may have erred on the side of making it a little too hard, but, you know, I think that's a good thing. I think the last probably – 10 games of the league that I played after the patch, I'd say both me and the computer would shoot somewhere in the low 30s, you know, on three-pointers. You know, occasionally you'd run into a team like, let's say, Denver, who with their roster before all the guys left for China, you know, that team was littered with three-point threats. Like, that team, sometimes you play them and they'd come out and, like, nail 15 threes on you. But that's basketball. That's what happens. You know, that's I never really had a problem with it. I think guys have to get a little bit better at moving the ball around and not taking contested three-pointers in transition or taking, you know, or just assuming that every time you run a play that has a guy coming off a screen for a three that he's going to make it every single time. But other than that, I really like the way the game plays post-patch. Aside from the shooting, haven't seen a ton else that's really changed that much.
Bond, your impressions?
I actually think it's going to benefit me a little bit, because with the three-point shooting being harder, my team is Dwight and usually four shooters, so I'm still able to make a good amount of threes, and hopefully it'll kind of handicap everybody else and push me a little farther along, but that's just my selfish reason.
I like that thinking, but one thing that I took away from it is I used to feed the ball into the post like crazy, and because of the lobs, it always seemed to automatically tune. I'd get the ball swiped from me quite a bit, but now it seems like they have really emphasized the acceleration of the pass. It gets there a lot quicker, a lot less steals, and I'm hoping to really maybe start to make either Tristan Thompson or Samardo Samuels, when I use the Cavs now, make them more of a threat down low in the paint. So I'm hoping it comes out well out of it, and I think our guys will overall have a good experience with the game. But we're actually coming up on the end of this segment. As we move into the next segment, we're going to preview a little bit of the NBA, and we are going to dive into a little bit of how the offseason went down, recap the bloodbath, any of the newly signed free agents, if they're going to get amnesty, you know, since each team has one amnesty clause throughout the term. And then we're going to give you some of the under-radar signings that were some of the best, as well as some free agent winners and losers. This is the Three-Man Weave. We'll be back.
You probably already know how to manage your money, and that's great, but do you know how to massage your money? How in the poop are you anyway? I'm Walter Wintz, creator of the Money Massage System. By using my proven system, I've been helping people just like you become financially limber.
Since I started using Money Massage, my money is actually more pliable.
I started using the system and, you know, I haven't actually measured my money, but it does look bigger.
Are you upside down and backwards in a mortgage? The Money Massage System is here to help.
My friends used to come to me for financial advice, and now they come to me to cry on my shoulder, and I will give them a dollar to blow their nose on.
Don't wait another minute. Call today and start your path to financial fluffiness.
sexy and I know it.
That's right, folks. We got three sexy individuals going in the three-man weave right here. It's Drew 50. It's Bonsai 007. It's J-Face 907. The three-man weave that is brought to you by the Baseline, TSO's premier NBA 2K12 online association. We're going to turn our attention to the NBA this segment, and let's give a quick recap of the off-season bloodbath. First question, who do you think had the bloodiest of the bloodbaths post-lockout? Was it the NBA or the NFL? Drew, I'll get your opinion first.
I think probably the NBA, only because I think the average fan is a lot less willing to give the NBA a break. I think the NFL, you know, once football came back, I think a lot of fans didn't even care that there was a lockout because football was back. It started relatively on time. You know, NBA players and owners, especially the players, you know, always kind of get zero leeway from you know, the public in general.
How about you, Bond?
Yes, I'll go with the same. The NBA, the NFL, they had the lockout, but they got it resolved quick enough to keep their full season and preseason. They had a crazy short free agency period, but they didn't really miss any games at all. So, with the NBA missing a good month and a half of the season and having to condense the new schedule down so much, it'll get better for them. But right now, a lot of people, it seems like, don't like the NBA anyway. And they have a lot of haters, it seems like, but what are you going to do?
Yeah.
I love it.
I agree with that. I mean, I think the NBA more than any other sport, it seems like people either love the NBA or they hate the NBA. You don't have the fringe fans, I think, that you do in a lot of other sports, unless you live in a market like, let's say, LA or Florida, where, you know, there's multiple teams, you know, out there, and basketball is really a core part of the culture.
I would agree with that totally. And, you know, NBA, it's weird because it's just NBA itself. It's not basketball. People don't feel that way about basketball, specifically the NBA. But I would have to come away with the NBA being the bloodiest of the two as well, mostly because you had owners still not willing to pay guys, you know, after the lockout. I mean, look at examples of Chris Humphries and Nick Young, you know, still having to come down to their qualifying offers after begging for millions of dollars that they just weren't going to get from anywhere in the league. But speaking of guys signing new contracts, you know, as I mentioned in our little teaser, every NBA team has the ability to amnesty one player in this 10, what ultimately could be optioned out to be 6 years of this labor negotiation, this collective bargain agreement. Do any of these new guys that have been signed, do you think, are immediately up for amnesty if they don't produce with their new team, Bond?
I don't know. I think most of the amnesties are going to come up from the horrible contracts that were already in place before the lockout. I don't know that any of these new guys will get it. We're going to see more of these older contracts that are going to get cut off.
Yeah, I would have to agree with that. I don't see really, as much as big men were overpaid in this offseason, that's mostly out of necessity. You know, there's really no big elite big men in the league outside of Dwight Howard anymore that can stay healthy. You know, Bynum can't stay healthy. Gasol's still pretty soft in the paint. Mark Gasol, he doesn't have the offensive game really that you'd – a polished offensive game that you'd want out of a big. But just the complete big man is a rare thing to find, and that's why these guys still get the big bucks. Drew, do you think any of these new guys or new contract guys will be amnestied eventually?
No, I agree with Bond. I think that the teams that haven't used their amnesty clause are saving it for maybe a season or two down the road because they have teams that maybe they think can make another run. I mean, I'll use you know, my favorite team, the Bulls, as an example. They haven't amnestied anybody, but I'm willing to bet that if you could get Gar Foreman and John Paxson in a back room, they'd probably tell you that they're saving that amnesty for either Joakim Noah or Carlos Boozer if either of those guys end up continuing to be hurt, or let's say if Carlos Boozer continues to play the way he played in the playoffs last year. I think those are the kind of deals where those are the kind of players that you'll see amnesty down the road.
I agree with that. I think the top three guys that come to your mind for amnesty in the next couple years, if they don't produce, have to be Carlos Boozer, and then the Bobcats actually have two. I would say Corey Maggette and Dizana Jopp. Bond, what do you think about that?
I'm shocked that they didn't know amnesty job already.
That is true, yeah.
They didn't amnesty him because they have no one to play center, and they're going to be playing Boris Diaw at center, and if something happens to him, I don't know what they're going to do. But, yeah, if they can get anyone besides Diaw to actually play center, yeah, there's no way he's going to stick around there.
Definitely. Now, let's talk about some of these signings that kind of went under the radar. Who do we think could have the biggest impact on their team? I'll start this one off, and, you know, I used to hate this guy. I thought he made a huge mistake coming out of the NBA or coming out of high school straight to the NBA. But I think with his matured game and his defensive and rebounding skills, I think Kwame Brown actually may end up being a good signing for the Warriors. You know, they did overpay him, but he only got a 1-year deal. It's basically an audition year for him. And I think it could eventually lead to maybe a big re-sign with the Warriors down the road or once he hits free agency again. Bond, where are you going with this one?
I love the signing. The expectations aren't real high. They overpaid, but every big man gets overpaid, it seems like. It's only 1 year. They don't need him to do a lot of scoring. They need him for his defense, which is what that team has lacked big time anyway. Mark Jackson's trying to preach defense on that team now, and I think that'll be a good start for him to get there.
Drew, do you have an under-the-radar signing, or are you on the boat of Kwame Brown as well?
No, I mean, I think an under-the-radar signing that I – think that this first one may not be under the radar, but I think the Rip Hamilton acquisition by the Bulls is going to be huge for that team, just based on his game and how it fits in with what that team needs. But I think sticking with what's going on in my local market here, I think the Clippers reportedly as of yesterday, I think, agreed to terms with power forward Reggie Evans, who played with Toronto I think last year. And he's basically going to be their kind of the backup power forward rebounder, which they don't really have, a big body behind Blake or DeAndre Jordan. And I think, you know, for what they're likely paying him and what he'll be asked to do, which is probably come in and play 15 minutes and just go out there, play defense and get some rebounds. I think that's a really good signing for that team.
I actually like that signing as well. I actually had a chance to see Reggie Evans play firsthand, being in Anchorage and then spending a little bit of time in Seattle when he was with the Sonics. I like the kid. He just cannot stay healthy. But if he can, he's the type of player that will get you about 10 to 12 boards a game and get you those nasty points. Those points on offensive putbacks, you know, things like that. Anderson Varejao has done it in Cleveland for years, and he's been close to 10 to 12 points a game. If Reggie Evans can do that for the Clips off the bench, I think that's a huge signing. Bond, what's your take on that?
That should be good for them. I don't know that he's going to be real big, like you said, the health concerns, but all he really needs to do is spell the other big guys they have there. So, he should be fine. Another guy that I think people need to watch out for is Shannon Brown in Phoenix. With that up-tempo system they're running there, he's all about running and flying, and so I think Steve Nash is just going to get him a bunch of alley-oops.
That would be awesome to see. And let's talk about now some overall winners and losers in free agency. Let's start on the downer. Let's start with the losers. I'll start this one off, and it has to be the LA Lakers in my mind. You whiff on Chris Paul. You end up pissing off your biggest X factor in Lamar Odom. And who do you have to sign to show for it? A bunch of 3-point shooting white guy big men in Troy Murphy and Josh McRoberts. I don't see this team being all that improved. I think you just put the burden back onto Kobe Bryant's shoulders, and they may not have that great of a season, especially with Mike Brown at the helm. I love Mike Brown to death, but he's not the guy for that team. Drew, who do you got as the loser here?
Oh, I think I agree with you, especially living here in L.A. People in L.A. are pissed first off at David Stern, who they think screwed the Lakers, which is funny because the Lakers have been on the beneficial end of so many trades over the years. It's kind of funny to hear Laker fans complaining now. But also the fact that the Lakers traded Lamar Odom to the Dallas Mavericks and got a trade exception back, which isn't going to help them this year. People out here don't understand it. They're pissed about it. And I'd agree. I mean, I think that if you look at that Lakers roster, I mean, instead of bringing Lamar Odom off the bench, now they're bringing Josh McRoberts, who, I mean, yeah, the kid brings some energy and he can run around and do some stuff, but he's not Lamar Odom. And that team is one injury away from being a non-playoff team in my mind. And if they don't get a – right now out here in L.A., Bond doesn't want to hear this, but people out here, they're all in on the Dwight Howard thing. Like, they're convinced that that is the move, that the Lakers are going to somehow figure out a way to get Otis Smith to trade them Dwight Howard.
They got to give up Gasol and Bynum. It's the only way.
I think most Laker fans would say that they should do it. Most Laker fans, I think, are already of the opinion that they should do that if that's what it takes.
Bond, who do you got?
Which, if that's the case, Bond, like, why the hell would Dwight want to come play with Kobe Bryant, who's going to be like 35,
and no one else,
and nobody
exactly.
else on the roster?
Yeah.
Bond, do you have a clean sweep here with the Lakers being the biggest loser?
They're a very big loser. It's funny how things change with the last podcast. We were talking about them being huge because we thought they were getting Chris Paul, but, I'm going to go with the Nets. I mean, what are they doing? I know they're trying to save up and try to get Dwight, but they signed Sean Williams, Sheldon Williams. They got Chris Humphreys back on his qualifying offer, but what are they? They've got Brooke Lopez, who's now hurt. So they're screwed there for the next 2 months. So they're rolling out there with Deron Williams, Humphreys, and they just got Okur, but I mean, what is that really? They got three other guys named Williams that probably 10% of the population has heard of. They're going to suck.
Yeah, and we're running up against the clock here, so let's quickly run over our winners. I think it may be a clean sweep here. I've got the Miami Heat, really. You know, Shane Battier is that big of a difference maker. We saw it in Memphis, and all Eddie Curry has to do is give them 15 minutes a game, and that's a solid signing, too. So I've got the Miami Heat here. Bond, what about you?
Miami did great. Also, Dallas did a good job, I think, because even though they lost a couple players, they brought in some decent players on one-year contracts, and they're going to have some cap space next year.
All right. Drew, how about yourself?
Well, it may not be free agency, but I don't know how you can not say the Clippers are the big winner in the offseason so far. I mean, they picked up the best player available and completely have changed around not just the team itself, but the perception of the team out there. Out there in the public eye. And having watched the Clippers' first two preseason games, I honestly think that the Clippers are going to be, if Chris Paul stays healthy, that team's going to be top four in the West.
You know, I have to agree, but there's one thing that, you know, I just can't get over. It's the lack of depth. They really don't have that there, but we got to move on. You know, it's time to go to our next break, but in the next segment, we alternate back over to the baseline, you know, everybody's favorite online association, where we will cover, let's see here, we're going to give us this season's baseline predictions, how everybody's going to do, what users are going to come up and sneak us in the grass. Also, we're going to talk about Jeff Green and whether or not he should be in or out of the OA. I'm JFace907, the three-man lead. We'll be right back.
You probably already know how to manage your money, and that's great, but do you know how to massage your money? How in the poop are you anyway? I'm Walter Wintz, creator of the Money Massage System. By using my proven system, I've been helping people just like you become financially limber.
Since I started using Money Massage, my money is actually more pliable.
I started using the system, and, you know, I haven't actually measured my money, but it does look bigger.
Are you upside down and backwards in a mortgage? The Money Massage System is here to help.
My friends used to come to me for financial advice, and now they come to me to cry on my shoulder, and I will give them a dollar to blow their nose on.
Don't wait another minute. Call today and start your path to financial fluffiness.
They say that all your old girls got somebody new. I said, damn, really? Even Rosemary, even Leanne Sealy, they said fucking right. They were the first to go. It's nothing personal. It's
yeah, that's fucking right, Drake. That's right. It's back again with the three-man weave baselines podcast here. We again, thanks to Drake for the music provided on this week's episode. Now let's get into the baseline. We're gonna kick off what's gonna be a somewhat regular segment on the three-man weave from the baseline. It's the coach's spotlight, and we're gonna spotlight our own little indecisive general manager to be, who just this morning made his big announcement. He set the three hats in front of him, chose to pick the Clippers hat back up. It's Drew 50. And Bond, do you want to go ahead and grill him a little bit while I go ahead and prepare myself here?
This is like LeBron last year. I don't know what was going on here. He's the Clippers. No, I want to be the Bulls. No, I want to be the Clippers again. Oh, wait, I want to be the Timberwolves. I don't know what was going on, but he was the Clippers, and then they picked up the – they made a trade for one of the top 3 point guards in the league. I don't want to use the Clippers anymore. I'm going to go use the Bulls. Wait, I probably suck with the Bulls. I'll go with Rubio. No, I'm Clippers again. I don't know what he's doing. He's like LeBron.
And, you know, the best part about this, he's going to pick the Clippers. And what's the over-under on Chris Paul being on the team? Before the trade line, or does he even make it that far?
Drew's going to trade him as quick as possible. It's crazy. I don't understand it.
Well, no, it's the problem. The thing with trading Chris Paul is going to be because I think, from what I can tell, 2K, I think, has him hard programmed into the game that he leaves whatever team he's on and goes and signs somewhere else, because I've run more than a few simulations, and in every single season he declines his player option and he won't sign with the Clippers even if you give him more money. He automatically goes and goes somewhere else for less money. I've had him go to Phoenix, I've had him go to Indiana. I had him go to the Nets once, even though they already had Darren Williams. So it's more an issue that I know I'm going to lose him, so I got to trade him because there's a 100% chance he will not stay with my team if I keep him around.
Now, and we also know that through your frustrations in season one, or the baseline reboot two, that Vinny Del Negro is as good as gone. You hate his playbook, everything else. Are we going to see a return of the high-pressure defense, fast-break style game?
Possibly. It depends. I mean, while I love the Chris Paul trade in real life, I hate it for 2K because they traded away Eric Gordon and they traded away Chris Kaman, who were two really good trade chips to use in the game, because they're both fairly good-rated players. Gordon has some potential, you know, has good potential, and they were both on expiring contracts, which made them very easy to deal. I can probably get a decent amount of a haul for Chris Paul as well still, the other thing is that I'm not real good. You guys have played me. I'm not good at all the dribble moves in this game. I'm not that good on the stick, so having a point to the quality of Chris Paul or Derrick Rose, for example, it's a waste when you put those guys in my hands, guys who can actually score, because that's not what I do. I'd rather come out, play some pressure defense, throw the ball into the post, let Blake do his thing, and then get out on the break. And I don't really need a top point guard to do that. I mean, hell, I went from, 11th in the West to 5th in the West with Gilbert Arenas starting at the point guard position for me last year. So I think that shows you I don't really need that kind of point guard for the type of team I want to run.
Well, and if guys may forget, Drew 50 actually brought Lob City to the Clippers before Chris Paul ever came about, acquiring Terrence Williams and, Gilbert Arenas. And got to admit, the alley-oops were part of his offense. So you think you could get maybe any trademark money there? I know you didn't think of the Lob City idea, but that was definitely your style of offense back then.
Yeah, T-Wizzle is my boy. I'd say if there was a favorite, if I had to put odds as to where Chris Paul will be early in the season, I think Houston is a very good possibility, because I could get a pretty good haul back of young players that they don't even start, back from them in a deal for him.
Bond, you got anything for Drew before we cut him off here?
I hope he sticks with the Clippers. I want to keep him out west. I can never beat him, so just stay there.
What are you talking about? You beat me on that last second three-pointer by your boy Jameer the last time we played.
One in how many?
Oh, that's true. I was up, I think, 20 points at one point in that game.
Yeah, that was a good chunk.
I don't know what the hell happened in that game.
Well, let's focus our attentions now to, as we all know, guys that got stuck overseas without, what do they call them, opt-out clauses. They're stuck there. They will never see the light of 2K basketball, at least until 2K13. How is that going to impact our online associations, knowing that we won't even be able to sign guys like Wilson Chandler and J.R. Smith in the offseason after season one? Drew, what do you feel about that?
I think it's big. I mean, there aren't that many really good two guards out there at all. I mean, really, if you think about it in basketball, there's probably like 10 really good two guards in the entire league. And J.R. Smith, from 2K's perspective, J.R. Smith is one of the best ones who still had some potential. Not having him out there is big because he would have been a free agent. Wilson Chandler was like an 81 overall small forward, power forward hybrid that likely would have gotten a max contract, in 2K, had he hit free agency. And I think another guy is Aaron Brooks, who's also, went over there and signed, what did he sign in China? Like 2 weeks before they finalized the new deal. And so he's stuck over there now too. I think those are three, big time guys who were free agents who would have, had especially some of the bad user teams where you're talking about teams like, like J-Face U with Cleveland or, Dan over in Charlotte, teams that would have had cap space and could have definitely thrown some big-time money at those guys. Not having those guys out there in the free agent market is going to be pretty big.
Bond, what do you think?
Yeah, I know a lot of guys in the league that would have liked to have J.R. Smith gunning for him, myself included. But another thing for you guys out west is maybe it keeps those guys off Denver for the time being, so maybe you don't have to deal with Denver so much.
That's true.
Yeah, I've played Denver a few times while we're waiting to restart, and they are definitely not the same team without Wilson Chandler and J.R. Smith. Having a Fuallo and Gallinari as starters as opposed to the guys coming off the bench, that team's not going to be nearly as good as they were last year.
Don't forget about Kenyon Martin as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just about to, funny you bring that up. That leads great into my, that's a great segue, as they say in radio and television. Kenyon Martin, his Chinese team is willing to forfeit games so he can get the hell out of Dodge. That is amazing to me. But do you think any of this happens before we even start up the baseline? I think he's gone for good for baseline terms.
He's gone because I heard even if he does get out of his contract, he can't sign it with an NBA team until his team is done, and supposedly they're going to make the playoffs, unless I guess they have to forfeit their games. But I think by the time we start, he won't be back yet.
Yeah, and my take on all of this is I think it's also pretty huge. J.R. Smith is 2K gold. The guy can dunk. The guy can shoot trays like crazy. He probably is one of the faster two guards in the game as well, and not to mention his consistency rating's up there to where he'll catch fire quick, and when guys catch fire like him, they don't stop making shots. It is ridiculous how quickly J.R. Smith can put up 40 points, not just in the NBA, but in 2K as well. Another one being Aaron Brooks that Drew mentioned. An up-tempo offense's dream. I honestly would have heavily considered the Suns, and I know Bucks fan was doing it too, if Aaron Brooks was in the game. With their up-tempo offense, could you imagine a backcourt of Aaron Brooks and Shannon Brown just running up and down the court, flying around, shooting threes, dunking the ball. And then you've got guys like Jarrett Dudley and Channing Frye to hit threes when they're trailing the play. They would have just been an overall dangerous team to either play with or play against. And now let's move on to, I kind of stir the pot with this, and I'm going to do it again here with Jeff Green. Guy, unfortunately, has something going on with him, and he just can't play in the NBA this year. His contract was voided by the Boston Celtics, meaning he is a free agent. He doesn't have a team right now. Why is this guy on the Celtics in 2K? And B, should he be in the game or in the free agent pool? Where should he be? Bond, I'll give you those questions first.
I'm not sure where he should be. I've heard he's, even though his contract's voided, he's still kind of been hanging around the Celtics facilities, just trying to keep a normal life until he has open heart surgery. But obviously he's not practicing.
Still,
but
the Celtics still have his rights. That's that on NBA TV last night that they voided his contract, but they still retain his rights until next season because of the fact it's a medical issue. So that's why he's not a free agent. That's why he's still on the Celtics roster, is because he'll be, again, a restricted free agent next year, and the Celtics will have, right up first refusal again. So that's why, J-Fix, I think he's going to be on the Celtics. I'd be willing to bet money on that. That he will be on the Celtics because 2K for online association when we, for the online league last year, if guys were hurt when you started an online association, they weren't hurt in the online association. They were hurt when you played like play now games or stuff like that. But if you went and played the online association, all the injured guys would be back. I think that's just the way that they've done it. I think that they don't take guys being injured into account when you start the league, because otherwise you have guys like, let's say, Eric Bledsoe on the Clippers is out for 2 months. Brooke Lopez will be out for 3 months. I don't think you're going to see any of those injuries in there.
My only argument to that, you know, would be the contract stipulation. You know, the fact that even though there's rights, he's still not under contract with any NBA team. I mean, what's to prevent them from putting in a guy that his rights that was drafted, that his rights are still owned by the team, but either due to a holdout or anything else, you know, couldn't play because he's not under contract. Does 2K put him in the game or do they leave him off? What do you say about that?
But I think this is different because you're talking about a guy who's a veteran player who was on the roster already as a free agent. It's a little different than if you're talking about, let's say, like they hold the rights to some Euro who's overseas, who's never played in the league, or some draft, or let's say if they hold the rights to a draft pick who refuses to sign. Well, until the guy signs, he's not really part of the NBAPA and can't be in the game. I think this is a little bit of a different situation, and because it's a special situation, I think that's why they're probably going to treat. My guess is they're going to treat it as he'll be on the Celtics on a 1 year deal, and the injury won't even have any issue in game. But let's be honest, Jay, you're biased because you want to try and steal him away from Brian for nothing. So,
and you know, as we wrap up this break, that's exactly what I was going to say. You know, this is maybe a little bit of self-serving information here because, A, I want him on the Cavs, and B, I want him nowhere near the Celtics. That'll do it for this segment of the Three-Man Weave. We're going to come back with some more NBA predictions. You know, we covered the team predictions last week. This week, we're going to be more individuals. Who's going to take away some of the awards? Are there going to be any new playoff teams? And then we'll talk about coaches on the hot seat, rather. And then we're going to take off of ESPN's list and we're going to play a little fact or fiction. We'll be right back on the Three-Man Weave.
Millions of Americans every day are shedding unwanted pounds by taking tested and proven Ultra Lipo Stick. Carbohydrates are bad, bad. Our carbo-fighting antioxidant is good, good. Just listen to these satisfied customers.
My name is Gail, and I lost like 20 pounds on Ultra Lipo Stick.
My name is Jared, and I lost 46 pounds using Ultra Lipo Stick.
My name is Zach, and I actually gained weight. This stuff sucks!
Ultra Lipo Stick is safe and easy to inject. Just 3 doses, 4 times a day, discreetly underneath your fingernail. Listen to this.
I used Ultra Lipo Stick and suffered from side effects like uncontrollable greasy discharge.
Ultra Lipo Stick, it turned the armpits of all of my shirts orange. This stuff is crap.
Try it today and see some real results. Ultra Lipo Stick, not available in stores. Results may vary.
Back again here on the Three-Man Weave. It's J-Face 907, Bonsai 007, and Drew 50 in the house tonight. We're going to go back, turn our attentions to the NBA, and we're going to stick to some player award predictions here this go-around. And let's start off first with our MVPs of the shortened 2011-2012 season. Bond, who do you got taking away MVP this year?
I think Derrick Rose has a good chance to repeat, but I'm going to pick Kevin Durant. I think he's just gonna get better again, and the Thunder are gonna, they have a chance to be number one in the East going into the playoffs, and I think if he can do that, then he'll get a lot of the MVP votes.
All right, Drew, who you got as your MVP?
I would agree. I think it's gonna be Kevin Durant. I think he's gonna get a lot of the pub this year once the season gets going on, because I think the MVP might, in reality, end up being LeBron, but I don't think there's any way in hell LeBron wins an MVP until he wins a title.
You know, you say that, but I think this is what's going to affectionately be known as the year of the LeBron and the Miami Heat. I think he's going to take away the MVP this year. I think he's going to set some career highs in either scoring or assists per game. I don't know which one yet, but one of those he's going to have a career high in, and it's just going to ultimately lead to an MVP-type season. Now, let's group these awards here into a couple predictions. Let's group our Rookie of the Years and our Most Improved Players. Rookie of the Year, to me, you know, all the hypes on my boy Kyrie and Kimball Walker and the point guards, I'm going with a different point guard. I think his game is just going to transition very well into the NBA, and he's going to be a microwave of offense. I think it's going to be Jimmer Fredette. I think Jimmer's going to lead the Kings to a halfway decent season with Tyreek and DeMarcus Cousins. I think he's going to average around 15 points a game, shoot from like 45% from behind the arc. I think he's just going to have a great first NBA season. And then my most improved, call me a homer if you want, I'm going with Evan Turner, the Buckeye, you know, first round draft pick from last year. I think he just was kind of lost. Doug Collins didn't really know what to do with him because he played point guard at Ohio State. But he's going to go back to his natural shooting guard position. He actually finished the season not too bad last year, and I think he's just going to take off from that and have a really solid season for the 76ers this year and, you know, maybe even lead them to the playoffs. So I've got Jimmer Fredette as my rookie and Evan Turner as my most improved. Where are you going with this, Drew?
Rookie of the year, I could see Jimmer winning it because I think he'll get a lot of playing time. The guy I'll pick, I'm going to take Derek Williams up in Minnesota. They've got, you know, Rick Adelman up there as the coach. He's willing to play the young guys, and I think Williams is going to get a lot of playing time, and the one thing he can do at this point in his career already is he can score. And I think I could easily see him putting up, as you were talking about Fredette, putting up 15 to 16 points a game with some rebounding numbers in there. Most improved, you know, I'm actually going to go with a guy that showed a lot of showed a lot in the playoffs last year. I'm going to pick Paul George off the Pacers. He has apparently been starting in the preseason. He grew 2 inches. If I don't know how the hell you grow at age 20, but he's now 6'10". He's already a very good defensive player. And in the preseason, he's shown some flashes of being a bit more aggressive on the offensive end of the court. And I think playing more consistent minutes with a team that's got, you know, some of the other offensive players they've got around him, I think he's going to have a nice 15, you know, probably 15 points a game, 8 or, you know, with, 7 to 9 rebounds a game as well, plus with some defensive stats in there.
All right, Bond, what you got going for the rookie and most improved?
Rookie of the year, I'm going to go with Kemba Walker. I mean, he's practically the Bobcats' best player. So he's going to come in and get a lot of stats, even though the team's going to be horrible. He's going to rack up just about any kind of stats that the Bobcats have. So he kind of by default wins Rookie of the Year because he's going to probably be Bobcats MVP. But most improved, I'm going with DeAndre Jordan. He's going to start this year now that Kamen's gone. Chris Paul's there to throw him the ball above the rim, and he's already good at blocking shots and defending, so I think DeAndre Jordan will get most improved.
Okay.
That's a really good pick, Bond. I can't believe I didn't even think of that because I've seen the two Clippers games, and I think DeAndre Jordan is going to look like such a better player with Chris Paul feeding him the ball.
Definitely. I agree with that as well, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And let's group these last two here. Let's go Coach of the Year and Sixth Man. Bond, let's have you start off Coach of the Year and Sixth Man.
Coach of the Year, I'm going Vinny Del Negro. It may not even have anything to do with him, but I think the Clippers are going to be so improved with their new roster that people are just going to give Vinny the votes. And sixth man, I think it has to be James Harden. He's supposed to have a big year this year, coming off the bench with the Thunder, and everyone's saying that he just looks so much better this year. So he's the overwhelming favorite.
He's not starting for them? I just assumed he was starting.
No, he's coming off the bench.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, and, you know, I'll go next here. And I thought that they were saying James Harden, you know, had improved his defense enough to possibly earn a starting spot. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, obviously, the Thunder have had some success with Harden coming off the bench and having the more defensive-oriented Tabo Cephalosha starting. But I'm going to go as far as Coach of the Year. You know, I got Doc Rivers returning to the throne in this one. I think Boston has a great season, even though they're filled with power forwards, even still not acquiring David West. They're full of power forwards, but I just think this is their last hurrah, and I think Doc Rivers really knows how to coach this team. As far as my sixth man, again, someone returning to the ward, Jet Terry. I don't think any six man is better than Jason Terry right now. He just is a great player, great personality. Love seeing him do well and win an NBA Finals, especially after get that damn tattoo on his arm. But those are my predictions. Doc Rivers for coach, and six man goes to Jet Terry. What about you, Drew?
Coach of the year, actually both of mine are going to come from the same team. One of them I agree with Bond. I think coach of the year is going to be Vinny Del Negro, due in no part to his own ability. I think that the Clippers are going to be kind of the feel-good story out west, and they're going to finish much better than they have in the past years. And Vinny Del Negro is going to get credit for that, even though he probably doesn't deserve it. And sixth man, I would agree with Bond. I think it would be James Harden, but I'm not convinced he's not going to be starting by later in the year. So I'll pick someone different. If Mo Williams is on the Clippers all season, I think he may be your sixth man, because I don't think they're going to play Chris Paul and Chauncey Billups a ton of minutes, and Mo Williams has been the first guy off the bench in the first two preseason games, and he comes in and just kind of runs around and, you know, plays off the ball, and he's going to get, I think, a lot of shots in on that team coming off the bench. I could easily see him, you know, averaging 13 to 14 points coming off the bench this year for the Clippers.
I would agree with that. And let's move on now to our coaches that are going to be first to be fired, or who's going to be on the hot seat first. And I think automatically Mike Brown's on the hot seat, just because he took a Laker job that is in a ton of turmoil, and you know, who knows what's going to happen with him. But outside of Mike Brown, I've actually got my boy Byron Scott being on the hot seat. He does great with young players, but if they don't see Kyrie and Tristan have a decent rookie season, I think you see Dan Gilbert go to more of a, and I hate to say this because I hate these type of coaches, maybe to a college coach to come to the NBA to really, truly help these kids along, because they'll have a young team for many, many years. But that's my coach. What about you, Drew?
Well, I don't know who's going to be the first to be fired, but to me, the guy on the biggest hot seat this year is Mike D'Antoni in New York. Because I don't think if they don't get to the playoffs and win in the playoffs, I think anything short of a good second round showing for them costs Mike D'Antoni his job this year, because there's no excuses anymore. Like, he's got probably the best front court in the entire NBA. And if they continue to not be a good defensive team and they get rolled out of the playoffs again, I could very easily see James Dolan, you know, shit canning him in favor of maybe trying to make a run at Phil Jackson and try and pull him out of retirement. That's been the rumors out here in L.A. for a year, is that people think that might be the one team Phil might go back to his roots in New York City with the team he won titles with as a player, and try and lead them back in the promised land.
I could easily see that happen. Bond, what about you? Who's your coach?
One that could possibly be fired is Monty Williams with New Orleans, depending on if they sell that team and what direction the new owner wants to go in. But I have three guys listed here as most under pressure, and you guys named two of them with Mike Brown and D'Antoni. They're both really on kind of a hot seat with their expectations. And also, I'm hearing Scott Skiles, if he doesn't start getting the Bucks into the playoffs, then he may be gone as well.
He's about at the end of his run. If you look at his history, like even when he was with the Bulls, teams seem to tune him out after three or four seasons. It's like, I think he just rides them too hard and they just stop. They stop responding because he's never been able to turn that kind of intense attitude into, you know, winning at a big time level.
Agreed fully there. And we all can agree the Clippers are going to be a new playoff team this year. Do we have anyone outside of the Clippers? Drew, go.
When I look in the West, I don't see anybody. I think the West, the teams that are there are going to continue to be the playoff teams, with the exception, I think, the Clippers get in and New Orleans probably drops off. In the East, shit, beyond the top four, the rest of the East is, quite frankly, I don't think is. You got like the top four teams: Chicago, Boston, Miami, New York. Then I think you've got probably Orlando and Atlanta somewhere right behind them. And then it's a mishmash of who the fuck knows. I think Indiana makes the playoffs again. I don't really know beyond that. I don't know that you're going to see a surprise team in the playoffs out East, though.
All right. How about you, Bond?
In the West, New Orleans is definitely coming out, and the Clippers are definitely going in. So there's one right there. And then I think Portland could fall out and then allow Houston to sneak in, because Houston last year, they didn't make the playoffs, but they were still what? They were 43-39. So they had a good team. They just missed the playoffs by a couple games. So if Portland struggles without Roy, I know they got Crawford, they may fall out and Houston could sneak in there. In the East, it's basically going to be the same. The only thing that could be different is if Milwaukee does get in, it could bring Philly out. I'm pretty sure Indiana was 8 seed last year. I'm pretty sure they're going to be like 5. But Philly could slip out and allow Milwaukee to get in, but they may just end up being the same.
Yeah, my thing is I've actually got, as you guys said, New Orleans out, LA in, LA Clippers, that is. I've got Portland falling out as well, but my dark horse team to make the playoffs, basically just on having the ability to stay healthy and having talented players, I've got the Sacramento Kings jumping in. They really just need Tyreek to stay healthy and DeMarcus to stay in his head, you know, in the right state of mind. But I like this Kings team. I think they're full of young talent, full of energy. It's going to suffer that they can't get Chuck Hayes after him failing his physical to spell DeMarcus Cousins. But I just like what this team brings to the table in terms of just energy and great attitude. In the East, I'm coming away with a couple surprises here as well. Just one surprise. I've got the Bobcats slipping into the playoffs just because.
You're crazy.
Just because the East is known for 8 seed insert team here. You know, 1 through 7 is normally predetermined, you know, especially this year with the Pacers being is what they are. But that 8 seed insert here, I think, will be the Charlotte Bobcats. I've always loved Paul Silas as a coach. He gets a full year with them. Kimball Walker, you know, he's going to ultimately, if Jimmer doesn't win it, he's going to win Rookie of the Year. And I just got some good vibes coming out of Charlotte right now, even though.
here's my question. This is for you, Bond. What is the more insane comment that J-Face just made? That Charlotte was going to make the playoffs or that the Kings have a great attitude?
I mean, I think Charlotte's going to be the worst team in the NBA this year. So
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think Charlotte's more likely to have the most ping-pong balls in the lottery than anything else.
Yeah.
See, I've got...
I think your Cleveland Cavaliers are going to be a little bit better than people are anticipating, in my opinion. But I think Charlotte is just... I don't know what the hell Michael Jordan's doing over there. He's a great player. He's a horrible frickin' owner and GM. I mean, Kimball Walker's good, but what the hell else did they have to build around?
I really like both Boris Diaw. You know, he did good things in Phoenix. I like Tyrus Thomas, and I really like Corey Maggette if he can stay healthy. He still can score the ball, and that's a big thing for them is they just couldn't score last year. But
But they're referring to Corey Maggette as being the team leader, and the only thing Corey Maggette has ever been a team leader of is teams that suck. So, I think if Corey Maggette is your team leader, you're in a lot of trouble.
Not only that, and they're going to Boris Diaw is going to be their starting center, way out of position for him, and he's going to be having a guard. He's going to guard Dwight. He's going to guard probably Bosch. I mean, I don't know what he's going to do.
Well, and, you know, you mentioned ping pong balls. I've actually got the Cavs, Nets, and Pistons being the three worst teams in the East this year. So we'll see how it all turns out. As we can, you know, it's a podcast, and we got a short season. Anything can happen in a short season. But let's move on now to play a little fact or fiction. Here's how it's going to run down. I'm just going to be the host, you know, in this one. Not going to partake at all. Just going to ask you two the question. You give me fact or fiction and why. First one, fact or fiction. David Stern screwed over the Los Angeles Lakers. Bond, go.
Probably. There's too many stories that he says he acted as the owner of the Hornets. Everyone else says he acted as the commissioner. He probably did. I don't have any facts based on that, but I'm sure he did. He's kind of shrewd like that.
All right, how about you, Drew?
I'm going to say fiction for the same reason why I don't buy the conspiracy theories that have been floating around the NBA for 20 years. I think they'd have way too much to lose to do something that stupid. Until one of these quote unquote sources that says that they have inner workings of this, you know, inner knowledge of this stuff comes out and actually comes on the record with some sort of proof, I'm not going to buy that they did anything more than what was talked about. The stories that I've heard are that David Stern has gone on the record and basically said that the stories that trade was final were leaked by the Lakers. you know, in an attempt to pressure the Hornets into doing the trade. I'm sorry, you know, he's on the record as having said that. So until someone is willing to come out on the other side and actually come on the record and say something, I'm not going to buy it.
Okay.
Let's also remember that Drew is basically David Stern Jr. when it comes to the baseline. So he's always going to agree with what David Stern says.
David Stern is, in my mind, still the best commissioner over the last 25 years in any sport. And I'll stick by that.
And he may be in the minority of that. But fact or fiction, we're moving on. Fact or fiction, the Hornets will be drafting twice in the top five in the 2012 draft. Bond, go.
Well, they have Minnesota's and their own, so I don't know. I kind of think Minnesota's going to be a little better this year. They'll definitely have two top 10 picks. Theirs will be top five. I don't know if they'll have two top five. So I'll say fiction.
All right, Drew?
I'll say fiction as well. I actually think both their picks may be outside the top five, because I think Minnesota's going to be a little bit better. And I think New Orleans isn't going to be awful when you look at that roster with – you know, Eric Gordon came in and some of the guys that they didn't lose, they still have on there. I think, you know, the Hornets are going to be probably, you know, a 30-win team or something like that, I guess. So it's a 30-win team in an 82-game season, whatever that translates to 66 games, I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure either. But last one, fact or fiction, the Staples Center will be hosting two Game 1s in the first round this year. Drew, go.
Fact. Yeah, I think both teams are making the playoffs. Personally, I am so rooting for a Lakers-Clippers playoff series, because it was already – if you guys have seen the preseason games, they're already getting chippy. I mean, Matt Barnes taking cheap shots at Blake Griffin, people knocking Kobe down. I think a Lakers-Clippers playoff series would be so awesome to watch.
Can't disagree with you there. How about you, Bond? Fact or fiction, the Staples Center will be hosting two Game 1s in the first round this year.
That's a fact. Clippers are going to be top four, and Lakers will probably be number four, maybe. So, yeah, I can see them both hosting game ones.
All right, that'll do it for our first edition of Fact or Fiction, and that'll actually do it for this segment of Three Man Weave. We'll be back with our final segment where we are going to do some baseline predictions. Who's going to make the playoffs? Who's going to have users take away awards? And what new guy is going to have the earliest success? We'll be back in the Three Man Weave.
In this day and age, business is governed by consolidation. Fill your gas tank? Get a car wash. Go to a bar? See a concert. Get a coffee? See some boobs. On another note, have you ever come back from a hunting trip with a little bit more than you asked for? Well, my name is Bob, and I'm here to tell you about my business. Bob's Abortion Clinic and Taxidermy Services. Here at Bob's Abortion Clinic and Taxidermy Services, we live by our motto, no fetus will beat us. Pheasant, elk, bobcat, Siamese twins, we do them all. Mention this ad for a 10% discount, and remember, Bob's Abortion Clinic and Taxidermy Services. That way the bitch can keep the kid.
It's a three-man weave. It's the final segment. I'm JFace907, joined by my co-host Drew50 and Bonsai007. And let's predict how this go. Was it our third attempt at the baseline? How it will go this year. And first, let's start off. Let's see who is going to make the playoffs as far as the users. Drew, who you got as far as users making the playoffs?
Well, I think that out west you're going to see Mike with Oklahoma City make the playoffs. I'm going to say I should be able to make the playoffs with the Clippers. Trying to think who else we got out west. And out in the east, I think you're going to have some of the usual suspects. I think, you know, Blaza with the Knicks, I think he sounds like he's an NBA 2K junkie, so I'm guessing that he's really good at the game. So I'm assuming he'll be in. I'm assuming, you know, Bucks fan, probably makes it in. As well as, especially with him using the Heat. I think you're going to see that the people who took the teams that you'd expect to make playoff runs, I think are going to make the playoffs. If any of you guys using like Cleveland, Charlotte or the like, make the playoffs, I'm going to be very impressed. But I will say, I think I'm going to pick my man Bond to make the playoffs this year. I don't think he's going to falter like he did last year.
You're gonna pick me to not make the playoffs or to make?
No, I'm picking you. I'm picking you to make the playoffs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. I don't have to get upset.
All right, Vaughn.
I got your back.
Who you got, Vaughn?
In the East, I'm picking myself, of course, to make it. Macon, I think, is going to make it with Indiana, Bucks fan with the Heat, and Blazer with the Knicks. Out West, I have Drew. My notes say here, Drew, if he takes the Clippers. Now we know he is. So I have Drew going, Mike with the Thunder, and Pepper with the Grizz. I think he might make it in. And that's it. Three from the West and three from the East.
Yeah, you know, I've got – Bond, I hate to tell you, I've got you missing the playoffs again this year.
You're crazy.
I'm crazy. Hey, I got the Bobcats making the playoffs in the NBA.
That's what I'm talking about.
There we go. I'm crazy. But as far as user playoff teams in the East, I've got Blaza, of course. You know, we've all mentioned he's the Knicks. He's a basketball junkie. I've actually got BDS Digital. I've got him taking the Celtics to the playoffs. And I've got
I completely forgot about him.
And I've got Bucks fan with the Heat and Macon with the Pacers. I actually had Drew originally out when he was the T-Wolves, but now that he's the Clippers again, I've got Drew making it in the West. I've got Pepper taking Memphis to the playoffs. I've got Mikey taking the Thunder. And really, that's about it out West. We don't really have too many guys taking elite teams. You know, the Lakers, Portland's taken, but, you know, Lakers specifically, no one's them, and so – that's pretty much it for the West. Drew, Mike, and Pepper. But who do we got as far as new guys that are going to make it the furthest in these playoffs? I'll start this off. I've got Blaza. I've honestly got him all the way going to the finals, really. Either that or at least – I've got an all user Eastern Conference final between Bucks fan and Blaza. One of the guys in the East is going to the finals. In the West, I actually don't think anyone – gets to the Western Conference Finals. If they do, that'll be the furthest they go, and it's not a new guy. I've got someone like Drew or Mike doing that. What about you, Drew?
Yeah, I'd agree. I mean, I'm not going to pick myself to get that far in the West just until I figure out what the hell I'm going to do, you know, roster-wise with this team. I think Mike tended to struggle against the CPU after the patch, so I think he makes the playoffs as kind of probably a fourth seed and gets knocked out probably in round two. Out East, I actually think I think Blaze is going to do well. A guy I think is going to be a sleeper that I actually think could make a run is, and I don't know how I spaced on him when I was making my notes, BDS Brian with Boston. I mean, Brian's good at the game. He's just was using the freaking Cavaliers. He just didn't have any talent. He had the Cavaliers without your two rookies. I think you give him that Boston roster where those guys don't get hurt in 2K like they probably will in real life. And this year, he's going to have a really good team to make a run with. And I could very well see him, you know, finishing with a really good record and getting all the way to the finals.
What about you, Bon?
I think, yeah, Blaze and the Knicks. I actually have him winning the entire thing. I think he's going to be a rookie first-year title winner. So he's going to go real far. The other guys that I have making the playoffs are all guys that were in it last year. So he's definitely going to have the biggest impact of the new guys.
All right. Some player awards here. Now, how about the MVP? I think that Bucks fan, being the player that he is that knows how to operate in the post, knows how to be a good ball distributor, and knows how to, you know, drive to the basket. I think he takes LBJ or Wade, one of the two, all the way to the MVP tie, all the way to the MVP award. What about you, Bond?
On my sheet here, it says Blaze is going to take Carmelo to the MVP, but in parentheses, I have Blake if Drew is the Clips. We now know Drew's the Clips. I think he kind of likes to go a little nuts with Blake Griffin in the game, so I think he might win the MVP.
All right, and then speaking of Drew and Blake, who do you got, Drew?
Blake. Mark it down now.
Your Blake prediction.
Blake is the center of the offense. He gets my offense is essentially get the ball to Blake, get the hell out of the way. And, I mean, to give you an idea, I was playing a practice game a couple of days ago against a pretty – I was either playing against the Bulls or against the Bulls or someone else. It was a good defensive team, and I put up 20 points on 8-for-8 shooting in the first quarter with him. So, and half of those were on just transition plays. Once I figured out what to do with Blake and what he's good at, and really figured out how to do the post moves, he's actually surprisingly good in the post. I think with a full season, I think if you look at the last half of the season, Blake won Player of the Month twice in a row for the last 2 months, and I think I was averaging about 33 points a game within the last 2 months of the year.
Okay, I like those predictions by all of us. Now let's move on to Coach of the Year, and I've got Bucks fan. You know, as a user coach, of course, Eric Spoelstra taking the Coach of the Year away. It's either going to be him or Blazza with D'Antoni, but I've just got Eric Spoelstra and the Miami Heat taking away another award here. What about you, Drew?
I'm going to stick with my prediction of Brian. I think he's going to get Doc Rivers Coach of the Year.
All right. How about Bond?
Blazza, D'Antoni, Coach of the Year after he wins the title.
All right. Now let's move on. We actually have quite a bit of users taking control of the rookies. I know they're a sexy thing to want to acquire once they're fresh and new into the game. You know, me, Dan, a bunch of guys. Drew would have had a field of rookies to play with had he been in Minnesota. But who do we have taking away the Rookie of the Year here, Bond?
Could have been Rubio if Drew was going to use him, but he's not. So I think D'Anthrax is going to go nuts with Kemba Walker, and he's just going to light it up. So Kemba Walker in real life and in our game.
All right, Drew, how about you?
I'm going to agree with Bond. I think it's going to be Kemba Walker. Just based on your style of play, Jay, I don't know that Kyrie is going to put up the kind of stats that that Dan's going to put up with Kemba.
You know, I want to toot my own horn here, and in fact, when I drew up my prep sheet for myself, I put myself winning it with Kyrie Irving, but I think it's going to be a clean sweep here. I've got D'Anthrax taking it away with Kemba Walker as well. He cannot stop talking about how much he can score with him, at least against the CPU. It'll be interesting to see how it translates over to user games. I know personally with me, my point guard usually carries me in user games, whereas in CPU, it's normally someone along the wing or a post player. We'll see how it turns out. We'll see how the baseline in its third iteration with rookies, with newly signed free agents, everything else, we are going to tip off here hopefully within a week or two. It's going to be a great time. This has been the three-man weave. Bond, Drew, I thank you so much for being my co-host once again. And to all the baseline and all the TSO, let's have a good season.